New poll out yesterday shows that Donald Trump is still in first place in New Hampshire with 21% of potential primary voters. He has slipped to second place in Iowa, but he is still making more news than any of the other GOP candidates on the trail. Here to talk about that and the rest of the political world is our ABC News political analyst, Steve Roberts. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
What do you make of this new poll, and what does it mean that Trump still is at the top of the polls?
Look, Trump still is a master showman. He has the ability to be outrageous and to be flamboyant and to be noticed. Also, the field is very fragmented. There are 15 other candidates, meaning it's very hard for any one or two to get much traction. I continue to believe, and I think most political analysts who have been around a while continue to believe, that Trump is a flash in the pan, that Trump is not going to stay the course. He's not going to be taken seriously as a candidate by most voters. But right now, his brand recognition is high. He's a celebrity. He's a TV star. People know who he is. Hardly anybody knows who Governor John Kasich of Ohio is or Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana is. So he has that enormous advantage in the polls right now. But I think it would be a mistake to read into that he's going to be a serious threat for the Republican nomination. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I keep telling people it's 15 months before the election. Most Americans won't start paying attention for 14 more months.
And look, is it largely a question of name recognition and celebrity? Yes. Is it entirely that? Not quite. Obviously, he taps some of his more outrageous statements on things like immigration, calling Mexican immigrants rapists and killers. Obviously, there are pockets in the Republican Party who agree with that incendiary rhetoric. He is touching a nerve with some Republican voters. It's not all people who have watched him on TV, but I think it's mostly that.
Yeah.
They're going to have their first debate, the Republican Party, I believe next month.
No, next week.
Next month.
Which
next
is
week.
Next month.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're both right.
Yeah, okay. So how do you debate Donald Trump without yelling and stooping to his level and, you know, joining in on what has become a circus and still being somewhat presidential and keeping your cool?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the answer is it's going to be very difficult. As I say, this guy is a professional provocateur and a professional TV performer, right? Mm-hmm. He knows how to use the medium. He knows how to use his voice and his body language to attract attention. And the great fear on the part of a lot of Republican strategists is he's going to drag everybody down to his level. He is going to force people to say outrageous things in order to compete with him. And that's already happening to some extent. For instance, you had Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, who's also running for president, on the floor of the U.S. Senate calling Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate, a liar, breaching every rule of decorum in the Senate. Why? Because that's the way he's going to get noticed. That's why we're going to talk about him this morning. You had Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, saying over the weekend that the Iranian nuclear deal was going to lead Israeli Jews to the doors of the oven. An exceptionally overstated and hyperbolic reference to the Holocaust. What is driving Huckabee? What is driving Ted Cruz? In this atmosphere with Trump getting so much attention through his outrageous statements, the bar gets much higher. And the great fear of Republicans is that not only people will say these outrageous things, but the whole process will be demeaning and that the whole Republican brand will be damaged by the presence of Donald Trump. And that's a real fear.
Well, none of this is really new for the GOP. Extremist Republicans have always been able to get attention early on and make a lot of noise and in some cases lead the polls. But in the end, how effective is that? You can ask President Michelle Bachmann. You can ask President Herman Cain. You can ask President Pat Buchanan. This sort of stuff doesn't last, does it?
Yeah, I mean, you have this, obviously, this fatal weakness. You remember history. And you're absolutely right about that. And what does happen, Herman Cain was a very good example, someone whose incendiary remarks and personality shot to the top of the polls. But as soon as he was forced to answer serious questions about serious issues, he totally disintegrated. He also had an unfortunate history of sexual harassment that emerged as well. So I think that's true, and I think that Donald Trump is headed in the same direction. But as you point out, he's going to be on that stage next week. He is going to, in the NBC polls, he's leading in Iowa. He's second in New Hampshire. The other factor here is that the Republican field is so spread out. It's not as if one or two people or three or four can take Trump on. With 16 folks in the field, the opposition to Trump at the moment is really fragmented, and that's part of what's happening. Before, there are two nightmares for Republicans. One, of course, is that Trump is self-financed. What happened to Herman Cain, what happens to a Michelle Bachmann and a Pat Buchanan often is, as they start losing traction, their money dries up, and that forces them out of the race. Trump is not going to face that problem because he can spend his own billions. He might not have as much money as he says he does, but he certainly has enough to finance a campaign.
What about on the
other? And the other long-run nightmare scenario is if he feels dissed by the Republican Party, runs as a third-party candidate, which could easily help whoever is the Democratic nominee next year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, what impact is Bernie Sanders having on Hillary Clinton?
Look, Bernie Sanders is doing a lot better than Hillary Clinton ever expected, and I think it's a function of several factors. One is he is speaking to the liberal base of the Republican Party, of the Democratic Party. Hillary Clinton has never been a favorite of the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Remember her husband, Bill, often talked about the third way, triangulation of turning his back on the most liberal Democratic policies. Frankly, that's the way he got elected president. He didn't get elected president as a purebred liberal, and Democrats had nominated many liberals for a generation, and their names were Humphrey and Mondale and McGovern and Dukakis, and there was one word to describe them all, and that word was loser. and it was Bill Clinton who figured out that the way you get elected president as a Democrat was moving much more to the center. The first Democrat to win two terms in the White House since Franklin Roosevelt.
Yep.
So he obviously understood something important about politics, but it alienated the most liberal base of the party. This is also a president who talked about welfare reform. He talked about the era of big government being over. So the Clintons have never been a favorite of the liberal wing, and that's part of what is fueling Bernie Sanders. But the other factor is, Hillary has never been a great candidate. She didn't run for president before. She lost to Barack Obama when he was an untested and unknown freshman senator. And the fact is that she is a someone who, as we've seen in the last few days, the whole controversy over her emails is just one more brick on the load, one more evidence that people, as one voter said over the weekend, you know, this is the Clintons. They always think that they don't have to play by the rules. They always play a little fast and loose. They're not trustworthy. And that's a burden that Hillary Clinton carries into this election campaign.
Steve, I can't tell you how much I look forward to a day when we can discuss candidates without the two-word descriptor, deeply flawed, on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to wait for a while.
A long time, I think. Steve,
all right, guys.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
A lot.
Steve Roberts, our ABC News political analyst here on McGraw Live in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.